I really enjoyed that hymn, Master Speak. And that's what we want today, just as Margaret said in her prayer, that God will speak to each woman here personally. He's wanting to. So I'm just praying that you'll open up your hearts. You know, ladies, giving birth to a message is not easy. And there are pains. I won't go into all that part. But just let me tell you, it's not easy. But I do thank God for the blessing I've received. And I thank him for answered prayer. And I thank him for your prayers. Thank you. And now that the message is born, I'm going to thank God that it'll soon be over. And I do pray that you'll all be richly blessed. I wonder, ladies, if you ever, as a girl, and we were all little girls once, weren't we? Did you ever conjure up in your mind just what would be the perfect recipe to enjoy life? A face like Grace Kelly and a figure like, I won't say who, and money and servants like the Queen perhaps, a handsome, doting husband, rich and generous perhaps, and a perfect family, two boys and two girls, well-mannered and very bright at school. Well, there we are. Or perhaps like me, after dinner mince, after breakfast, after morning tea, after lunch, after... Oh boy, no. Well, I wonder how it's working out for you. Perhaps you've got many of these. Perhaps you've got none of them. But do you know, even with all of them, you would be missing. You would not be enjoying life. And this weekend we're going to take you through a very marvellous book, and that's the book of Philippians. And there's your recipe, ladies. Here is how to enjoy life. And I've got the privilege of taking you through chapter 1 right now. You know, you can enjoy life, but the choice is up to you. It really is. There is only one way to fulfilment and to real joy in life, and that's to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him as your Saviour, and then live. Live Christ. His life living through you. Live Christ. You know that's the key verse in this chapter, don't you? That verse 21. For me to live is Christ. Enjoy Christ. Enjoy living. Live Christ. Live like Christ. Belong to him. Have him in your heart and in your life, and let him live his life through you. You know, think of Paul. He wrote this book. Do you think he had every reason to enjoy life? Prison, persecution, shipwreck, stoning. And yet he rejoiced in all these things. Why? Because he lived Christ. Christ was in him, with him, his life living through him. And he enjoyed living right there in all those circumstances. Did he always have this victorious attitude? I had to ask myself that question because I don't. And I thought, well, now it'll be an encouragement to the ladies to know that Paul didn't either. No, he didn't always live that victorious life. He kicked against the pricks, we read. And I did hear somewhere that the pricks don't hurt until you kick against them. And, you know, he kicked against the truth. Perhaps there's ladies here today and they're kicking against the truth. The Lord, he's the truth. And but then he'd stop kicking and he let God's wonderful light shine in, and he accepted Christ as the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. He prayed that his trials be removed, and he called them a thorn, and a thorn's not very healthy wherever it pricks into you, is it? And he prayed three times that God would remove that. Perhaps he had a few whys in his mind, and then he accepted God's will. And he enjoyed living. He was like us. He wanted to be what he wasn't. He wished he could be different. He wished he didn't do what he did do. And he was just like us. But he enjoyed living because he lived Christ. You know, Philippians is a thank you letter. I write lots of thank you letters. I have so much to be thankful for, God's goodness and the goodness of his people. And Philippians is a thank you letter. And written from a rose-strewn pathway? No, from a dungy prison. Probably in a Roman colony, Macedonia. Sorry, that prison was probably in Rome. But you know, he was writing it to a group of Christians. And he loved that group. 10 years earlier, he'd answered a call for help, that little group, way over there in Macedonia. And, you know, the very first one that put her trust in the Lord was a lady, Lydia. Isn't that precious? Probably the first Christian in Europe. And then there was a demon-possessed girl. Yes. And then the profiteers that were gaining from her demon possession, they raced Paul and his friend to prison. Remember the earthquake? And the prison doors opened. But bigger than that, the heart of the jailer opened and accepted the Lord Jesus as his personal saviour and his family. And that was a little group of believers. There were many more after that, I'm sure. Paul loved them. And now he's in prison. And they had been so kind, they sent this man called Epaphroditus along with a gift. And that man stayed and helped Paul for a little while. Then he got very sick, almost died. But now Epaphroditus is ready to go home, back to Philippi. Back to that little bunch of believers there. And so Paul writes a thank you letter. I don't know whether they had postage stamps in those days, but he was sending his letter back with Epaphroditus. He had a wonderful message for those Philippians. He wanted to share with them the joy that can be found in living Christ. He wanted to share with them the joy that's found when Christ is the centre of your life. You know, that's the whole purpose of life. If you haven't found it, your life's purposeless. That's what God made you for, to belong to Christ and then to live Christ, his life living in you. And so, a long or a short life, in a wheelchair, in a prison, married, unmarried, bereaved, or with life complete to the end, you can enjoy life if you live Christ. The last chapter in this last verse in this chapter mentions a battle, but there is victory ringing right through. Victory over self and victory over circumstances. What does living in Christ really mean? Well, by faith we take him into our lives as Saviour. By faith we take him to be our life, have first place in our lives. By faith we take his thoughts, his feelings, his actions, his words, and we put them in place of our old life. And the life we now live is his life, living Christ. That's God's whole purpose for your life. You know, I've divided this chapter up into three, and I'll just show you quickly how I've done it. Verses 1 to 2, we've got the salutation. I've bunched that in with the first part. Verses 1 right down to 11, live Christ, live generously, live for others, like the Lord did. And verses 12 to 26, live Christ, live triumphantly in difficulties. And then the last few verses 27 to 30, live Christ, live steadfastly, stand and strive. With this, ladies, you'll enjoy living. You know, in the first few verses 3 to 11, we see Paul live Christ. He really lived for others. You'll see him there in his love and his care, his praise and his prayer for the Philippians. Then as we move into the next little section, we'll see Paul's desire to live Christ, and he did enjoy living as he triumphed in difficulties, his imprisonment, and promotes the gospel. And then we get those beautiful verses about for me to live is Christ. In the last verses, you find that Paul's desire is for the Philippians to have this same steadfastness. and he prays for their perseverance and their patience. Let's take the first section. Live Christ. Live generously. Live like the Lord. Live for others. You know, in that salutation, you've got a beautiful picture there of Paul and Timothy, age and youth, yoked together. And he calls them the servants of the Lord. No generation gap there, ladies, because all one in Christ, serving him. Notice he says, servants. I think we'd have a different group of Christians if we all put after our names, servants, wouldn't we? And think of the Lord Jesus, why he washed those dirty, smelly feet. He's our example. Live for others. Live like the Lord. Live Christ. And you will serve. That'll be in it. We see Paul once in this first verse, the most precious gifts he could want for these Philippians. He wants grace and peace. We had a bit about grace last night, didn't we? Grace, not only the wonderful grace that we are saved, that wonderful gift of God, to no longer condemned, but safe, saved for eternity. Not only that, but the grace that we find as we need help in every need. Peace, not only the peace with God, but the peace of God. That's what Paul wanted for these folk. Yes, he lived for them. You know, I thought of Paul answering that call long ago for help, 10 years earlier. Do you answer the calls for help? You know, sometimes it interrupts, doesn't it? Quite often. But answer that call for help. The Lord did. Why, the Gospels are full of it. Live Christ, live like the Lord. Live for others. You know, and in verse 3 we find Paul remembered them. He did not forget. So many people put their trust in the Lord and unfortunately not followed up too well. Don't forget those new babes in Christ. Don't forget the people that need you. Don't forget the people that are calling out for help all around you. How nice to be remembered. And how Christ-like to remember. To care. And then that put another thought in my mind. I wonder what memories people have of us. We won't follow that through just now. You think about that. You know, verse 5 tells us Paul had very fond memories of this group of Christians, the fellowship he'd had. You know, in Chad, where we lived for many years, the word for fellowship there is eating together, sharing a meal. Fellowship, sharing. And this little group of Christians, they'd supported him, they'd strengthened him, and they'd encouraged him. Verse 7, it tells us that they even helped him in spreading the gospel, partakers of his grace. They shared with him. And you know, more than that, they identified themselves with him in his sufferings. And there is a lot of people, there are a lot of people around us suffering. How much it means if we identify ourselves with them. Try to understand. Help babysit. You can think of a million ways you can identify yourself with someone who's suffering. Yes, what a privilege to have fellowship with one another. Live for others, support them in their trial. Christ does with us, doesn't he? He understands. You know, and even if it's just in a small way, help in the spreading of the gospel. The ladies here today, they're doing that. It may have been just bringing their beautiful coffee pot along for us to enjoy on the table, and I did. But that's all got a part in this beautiful weekend, and there's a part for us all to play. You know, he praises them. You'll find that in these verses where we're looking at Paul living for others, but we're looking further than that. We can enjoy living if we live like Christ. If we live Christ and live for others. Why, Paul, praise God for them. He accepted them as they were. No doubt there were problems. I mean, I've never found a bunch of people that haven't had problems, have you? Personality problems, and I'm sure they were there too. But he accepted them and he praised God for them. Try praising God for that neighbour that bugs you. And I think after a while, you'll find you'll enjoy living with that neighbour, and vice versa. And that you'll be doing what God wants you to do. Praise God for others. Praise Him for others. And don't forget to praise them. Paul did in these verses. He praised them. He was so glad for them. But when you praise someone, do it with sincerity. Oh, what a lovely cake. Instead of, what a lovely cake. Cake mix, I guess. No. Praise with sincerity. And, you know, even your children too. We can be so negative, can't we? Don't do that, don't do that. I told you 1,000 times, don't do it. You did it yesterday, you're doing it again today. Don't. Thank you for wiping up, David. It means so much to me. Praise God for others and praise them too. Paul did in this chapter. And you'll be living Christ, living like Christ. And you'll enjoy doing it. You really will. You'll enjoy living. Paul had so little of this world's gifts, didn't he? But he gave everything himself. Well, that takes us right back to the Lord. The Lord had so little of this world's gifts, nowhere to lay his head. He gave everything he had. He gave himself for you and for me, that we might belong to God. He paid the sacrifice for our sin that was separating us from God. He gave himself for others. You know, verse 6 is lovely. And it told me we had to praise God for others and praise them, pray for others too, but we'll come to that in a minute. But verse 6 tells us we've got to be patient with others too. You know, it reminds me of the sticker. Have you seen on the back of cars, "Be patient, God hasn't finished with me yet"? Well, you be patient with others because God hasn't finished with them yet either. Give him time, it'll take a lifetime. Be patient. Because in this beautiful verse it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He finished the work on the cross, and that accomplished our salvation. And now he's going to finish the work in you. He really is. He's going to transform you. Christ is living in you, and day by day he's going to finish that work, transform you to be more Christ-like and to live Christ, live like Christ. You know, but it's a choice is involved once again. You've got to hand yourself completely over. You know, Paul's confidence wasn't in the steadfastness of the Philippians, it was in the fidelity of God. He will finish the work in you. Not me working, I've got to be like the Lord, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. He began that beautiful work in you, he's going to finish it. Verse 8 tells us how much Paul loved them. It says here, he loved them with the love of Christ, the bowels of Jesus Christ. In ancient, that was the bowels were the seat of the emotions. You know, in Chad, in Africa, it's the heart. And I love Becky, my stomach grabs hold of Betty. In Chad, it's the stomach. Here, it's the heart. In Chad, it's the stomach. Your stomach grabs hold of somebody. But it's also saying the same thing. You love with Christ's love. Love others like he did. In fact, in verse 9, we see that this is included in Paul's prayer for them. Live Christ. Live for others, pray for them. Here we've got Paul's beautiful prayer now, starting in verse 9. And he prays, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge." Are you selfish in your prayer, or do you pray for others? And are you selfish? Did you love yourself think of yourself that much that you don't love others. Paul's prayer here is for Christian maturity. And you know that whether that's going to start, it's going to begin with love. All else will follow. God alone can give you this supply of love. Think of Calvary, Christ's love. He gave himself. You know, love's law is to put myself in another's place and then act towards them as though it was me. Paul did not pray for wealth or freedom from trouble or for lots to eat, beautiful clothes to wear. No, for love. Live Christ. Live like Christ. Love with an abounding love, more and more. And a discerning love we see here, love with knowledge. And a love that's not going to offend. An absence of offence we find here too in this verse, in verse 10. An abounding love not limited by prejudices or dislike. And then we find he wants us to know too the way. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. How can we know, have a love that knows more and more and more of what God wants? Helps us to discern what God wants for us. Saturate yourself in his word and you'll know him better, you'll love him better, and you'll know better the best that he wants for you. You know, it also says here in verse 10 that we may be sincere. That makes me think of Chad too. The Africans used to leave their eggs under the chooks in the village for ages. They never ate eggs. They just hoped that it would hatch into a chicken. And when they didn't, they brought it to me to buy the eggs. The only way I could see if that was a real good egg and true blue was to hold it up to the light. The water test didn't work. I heard someone say that that did, but I found out differently in Chad. The only way was to hold it up into the light. Sincere means that, something that can be held up into the light. When you become a Christian, you have the righteousness of God as your very own. And he looks at you like that, in Christ's light. Isn't that wonderful? But let our love and our life be sincere and not mixed with hypocrisy. We were reminded about this morning in our devotions. Unmixed, unadulterated, pure. He wants us to have a sincere love. Without offence, be careful not to cause someone else to stumble. Without offence doesn't mean sinless. God does not expect that of us here. One day we will be perfect when we see the Lord. But let us confess our sins and leave them with him. Ask him to help us move on without causing someone else to stumble. And if there's restitution to be made, make it. Paul's prayer showed his supreme desire for these believers that they might live Christ. Paul concludes this prayer beautifully. He prays that they'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness. This is in verse 11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness. When you become a Christian, you are righteous in God's eyes. His Holy Spirit is living within you and is going to bear fruit and will be the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit we know very well from Galatians, don't we? Love, joy, peace. You can have a Christian character that glorifies God and wins souls to Christ if you just let his life live out through you, the fruit of righteousness. You know, a fruit tree doesn't make a lot of noise producing its crop. I've never heard it. But the crop that comes out is the product of the power that's within. And Christ in you, his life in you, that power can produce the fruit of the Spirit. Won't need a lot of clanging of bells and tinkling of cymbals. It will start with love, as we've been reminded. Live Christ. Live like Christ. Enjoy living. Live generously. We've seen Paul in these verses live for others. He was in a jam. This whole book could have been filled with help me, help me, help me. But this chapter isn't, is it? We see him rejoicing and he's living for others. His thought is for them, his praise, his prayer is for them. Move into verses 12 to 26 and we find we can enjoy living. How? By living Christ, living triumphantly in difficulties. Paul wanted to go to Rome as a preacher and he went there as a prisoner. Oh boy, do you think he sat for ages biting his nails, thinking, oh, I wanted to be a preacher, I wanted to be a preacher. No, he went as a prisoner. He did not find his joy in ideal circumstances, but in winning others for Christ. That was his job and he did it right there. We're going to see that. His joy was full. Christ did not find joy in his circumstances either, but his joy was in completing the work that God had for him to do, in doing God's will, in dying for you and for me. You know, there can be good results out of bad circumstances. Why don't you try seeing opportunities where other people see obstacles? You know, James is a very practical friend in the Bible. He said to welcome trials as friends, not intruders. You look past them and see what God's doing. These circumstances have a purpose, God's purpose. Put your confidence in God, in his will. In, you know, verses 12 to 18, we see Paul's confidence in the will of God. Not giving me what I want, but accepting what God has sent as the very, very best. That's victory. That's living triumphantly. That's enjoying life. See things the way God sees them. These circumstances are going to cultivate your character. They're going to transform you more like the Lord. They're going to bring glory to God. And you'll be able to help others. His grace is sufficient for you right there. Have you read the book, Johnny? She decided not to look at her wheelchair as a tragedy, but a tool. And that made all the difference. You know, discouragement has a way of spreading, but so does encouragement, ladies. Enjoy living, and people will see it. Live Christ. You know, in these verses 12 and 14, we see Paul, look, through his chains, Christ was made known. Verses 15 to 19, through his critics, and there are lots of those, Christ was preached. And then through this crisis, through it all, Christ was magnified because he was triumphant in those difficulties. Boy, he was glad of those chains. Why, he had an audience chained to him. I've almost got you chained to me. He had those soldiers, they were changing shifts, perhaps four times a day or something like that, and they were chained to him, they had to listen to him. Wasn't that wonderful? So, what did Paul do with his chains? He didn't complain about them, he consecrated them to God. That made all the difference. You're chained in some way. Housewife feels chained, I know. God put those chains there. Consecrate them to him. Use them for him. That'll make all the difference. Look at his critics. Huh. Some of the people became courageous and so they preached because Paul was in a jam. Some others were jealous and they thought, oh boy, he's tied up. Let's preach. This is our chance for some glory. Some others wanted to rub salt in Paul's wounds, so they preached. And others, out of love, they preached. But anyhow, the Lord was being preached, and Paul was glad. I've told some of you before, contentment. Don't complain about the thorns amongst the roses, but thank God for the roses amongst the thorns. And you can't have roses without thorns. There's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God's doing for you in your trial. Consecrate it to him and he'll use it. You know, in verse 19, we find Paul was not resting on his dwindling weakness and resources, no. But he was depending on God. Verse 19, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, all his strength, was what Paul needed and what Paul had. He was glad of the prayers of his little bunch of believers. Some people might be counting on your prayers. Accept what comes today as God's will for you today. You know, the Romans saw Paul triumphant in this situation, and they were challenged by his example. How are people challenged by your example, I wonder? You know, Paul had a very deep conviction here that he wasn't going to die yet. He was living very close to the Lord. He knew God's will. Live close. Live near to hear what God has to say to you and his guidance. Everything was coming to him by God's appointment. We aren't always responsible for the circumstances we find ourselves in, but we are responsible for the way we respond. Why don't we just accept God's will? Thank him for sending it. He wants the very best for you. He wants you to enjoy living. And that very circumstance is going to help you know Christ in a way you never knew him before, help you live Christ as you never knew him, lived him before, as you live his strength and look to him. Oh, and this takes us to verse 20. What a magnificent ambition. Paul wanted Christ to be magnified in him. A telescope doesn't bring the stars, make them bigger. It just brings them closer. Are you bringing the Lord closer to someone because you're living Christ, enjoying living today? I hope you're not frightening someone away. That would be sad, wouldn't it? I hope you're not acting like a victim of your circumstances. You'll frighten them away. A victor right over those circumstances, triumphant, live Christ. You know, sufferings gave Paul a wonderful opportunity to know Christ better and to become more like him. Before, the centre of Paul's life was self. In verse 21 we have this beautiful verse, now the centre of Paul's life was Christ. What are you centering your life around? Just ask yourself this question. For me to live is. What are you giving your interest, your attention, your devotion and your strength to? A life for self will manifest self, and a life lived for the Lord Jesus will manifest the Lord. What about death? For me to live is, and to die is. The unknown, perhaps. Are you living for self and have never accepted God's wonderful purpose for you, never accepted Christ as your Saviour? And what about dying? Are you looking at dying not as gain, but at everlasting pain, separation from God? Because if you're not a Christian, that is what death is going to be. And God has this wonderful, wonderful gift. You can start to enjoy living today when you decide to belong to Christ, accept what he's accomplished for you on Calvary. He's knocked down that wall of separation. You can belong to God. And then you can look on death as gain. Why? Simply departing to be with Christ. These words can mean, I found, loosening a ship and setting sail. Another way it was put was taking down your tent and just moving on into eternity with God. Is there something you dread? If you're not a Christian, you've got every reason to dread it. Please look at what Christ can give you. He can give you life, and life everlasting, and you can enjoy living. Paul was completely satisfied no matter what happened. Completely satisfied. What a wonderful way to be. And we can be like that. If we're completely satisfied, we'll enjoy living. Can I say here that we should enjoy dying to self today, because it's only as we die to self that we're going to live completely to the Lord. Consecrate everything you have and you are and you hope to be, everything you've got. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Magnify Yourself through my lips, my hands, my words, my feet. Take them all, Christ, that I might live You and that You'll be magnified. Live like Christ today and You'll triumph in Your circumstances too. Now we're just on the last little bit. And this is verses 27 to 30. Enjoy living. Live steadfastly. Live like Christ. Let Christ live through you. You know, Paul here in these verses, he's making a plea that they, for their preservation and for their patience. We see in these verses four features that are produced in a person that's living Christ. A person that's really living Christ, belonging to Him and allowing Him to live out through them, will have firstly a life that's becoming to the Lord Jesus. They'll have a life that's standing fast in union with other believers, other Christians. They'll have a life that's striving with other believers to be a testimony to others. And fourthly, they'll have a life that's not afraid of what Satan's doing or going to do, all the adversaries lined up against us. And it's a battle. I told you, our verses ended with a battle. But the whole chapter rings with a victory. Living Christ and enjoying living, triumphing in everything. You know, verse 27 holds a very precious aim for the life of one who wants to live Christ. Conversation in old English language means walk, not talk. So conversation here we have in verse 27. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, a manner of life becoming to the Lord. You like to wear a dress that becomes you, enhances your beauty, and does the right things for you. A manner of life that is giving the picture and the beauty of Christ as it should. You know, that's a powerful weapon against Satan, more than a powerful sermon, more than a real good book. A consistent life of a Christian. Our manner of life can either hinder or help the gospel, one or the other. That's a question to ask yourself. Stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together. Satan's motto is divide and conquer. And if you're living in a group of Christians that are really wanting to do something for the Lord and really moving out into the area, boy, he'll divide. That old Satan, he'll come in with personality problems. Stand fast. Triumph. Live Christ. Be of one mind. Drive for what? For the glory of that group or to save a little bit of difficulty? No, strive for the witness and testimony of the gospel. What a privilege that conflict can be. You didn't realise, did you? Verse 29 says that for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him but also to suffer for His sake. Look on the trials, Christian, as a privilege. Look on the conflict as a gift and a privilege. Why? It proves you're saved. These verses tell us. Becoming a Christian, I have to say this, does not mean the end of your battles. It means the beginnings of new ones, but with a new power in your life that you never knew possible. With a new aim, glory to God. And He'll give you a strength and a wisdom, all those things we heard about last night that you never knew were possible. The Lord understands that conflict. He went through the same, and He came through victorious. We are not alone. Now verse 30 says, having the same conflict which he saw in me. Satan would like to think that the things that we go through, we're going through alone, no one else knows about them, they're ours. But Satan wants us to feel alone, but we're not alone. The Lord is right there with us. He holds our hands. He understands, and other people are going through the same. Live Christ, look for him, look to him, his grace is sufficient for thee. Hold on, it might only be with a little flicker of faith. Sometimes it feels like that, but you'll find that he's holding on to you. And his power will never let you go. Well, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me, living is serving Christ. For me, I want my whole life to magnify Christ, reveal his character, his beauty, and so glorify God. For me to live is Christ. Ladies, live like Christ. Live generously. Live for others. Enjoy living. Live like Christ. Live triumphantly in that difficulty. You can. In Christ's strength. Strength to do all things. Strength to face all things. Look beyond and see what God's doing. He's doing the very best. He planned it. He's there with you. He has a purpose there. Your outlook could influence very much the outcome of that difficulty. And live steadfastly. Look to him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Well, Paul could say, for me to live in is Christ. Circumstances, whatever. People, whatever. Things, or lack of things. He looked beyond it all. He looked not at the circumstances, but he looked at Christ. And this changed everything. Are you enjoying living today? You've got every reason to. If you make your aim what Paul had, for me to live is Christ. For me, being alive today is wonderful because I belong to Christ. For me, being alive today is wonderful because I'm going to serve him. For me, being alive today, everything that comes along, I'm going to accept from his loving hand and live like him through it. Live his triumphant life.